Okay, let's begin. Good morning, everyone. Okay, so our topic for today is the concept of Shoshvinas. Okay, Shoshvinas and Shoshvinim. And we'll see in a minute what the Shoshvinim are, or more precisely how Halacha defines them. But let's begin with the Gemara in Sukkah on Daf Chaf Hem Beis, on the top of page 1. The Gemara gives us the following Halacha. Amar Rabbi Abba Bar Zavda Amar Rav, Chasan v'hashoshvinin v'chol b'nei ha'chupa p'tur min ha'sukah kol shiva. So the chasan, right, the groom himself, and the shoshvinin. Okay, so loosely defined, the shoshvinin are like the groomsmen, right? The friends of the chasan and the kala who are there at the wedding celebrating with them. So all of those friends, v'chol b'nei ha'chupa, everyone who's involved in the chupa, p'tur min ha'sukah kol shiva. They're exempt from the sukkah for all 7 days of Sheva Brachos. Okay, why are they exempt from the sukkah? My time, mishum debay lemechde, right? Because they have to be misameach the chasan, right? They have to celebrate with the chasan. So the Gemara says, v'leichlu b'sukkah, v'leichdu b'sukkah. Why don't they do all the celebrations in the sukkah itself? So the Gemara says, ain't simcha ela b'chuppah, right? You can only really celebrate with the chuppah itself. And in times of the Gemara, they would have the sheva brachos actually in the hall, or in the same place where they had the wedding. And you weren't going to have a wedding in the sukkah itself. So therefore, you know, you couldn't invite all the friends into the sukkah, so everyone was exempt from the sukkah for all 7 days. Okay? So the Gemara just asks, well, why don't you do the chuppah in the sukkah? Right? Ein simcha b'makom suda. So the avdu chuppah b'sukkah, why don't we do the chuppah itself in the sukkah? So the Gemara gives one of two reasons. Either it's tsar for the chasan, right? The chasan, you know, won't feel prestigious if he has to have his wedding in a little sukkah somewhere, so you want to have it in a nicer place. Or because of a chshash yichud. We're worried that maybe the kala will be left there with one of the men, and then you have a chshash of yichud. Okay, so the Gemara gives two reasons why you can't have the chuppah in the sukkah itself. Skip to the next paragraph in that Gemara. So the Gemara says, Tanur Rabbanan chasen v'hashoshvinim chol b'nei ha'chuppah p'turin min ha'tfilo min ha'tfilin. So not only is the chasan and all of the guests pater from sukkah, they're also exempt from davening and from wearing tfilin for all 7 days of the Sheva Brachos. Okay? But chayavim b'kriya shema. Okay, so now let me ask you, where do you ever find, when's the last time you've been to a wedding where all the guests were exempt from tefillin and tefillah and sukkah for all 7 days of the Sheva Brachos? I haven't seen it. Okay, so the Gemara actually quotes a challenging opinion. Mishum Rabbi Shila Amru, Chasan Pater, v'hashoshvinin v'chol b'nei ha'chuppah chayavin. Okay, fine, the Chasan himself, he's exempt, right, because he's actually engaged in the wedding, but the friends and the Shoshvinin, they are obviously obligated. Okay, that seems to, you know, resonate more deeply with what we seem to do. But let me ask you, what's the basis for the p'tur, for the exemption of the friends of the chasan and the guests for 7 days?
I was going to ask you, what is the basis for the chasan? What mitzvah is it basically? Is it for all the
What's the basis of the Sheva Brachos in the 7 days?
Okay, so I think the 7 days seems to be it's a yom tov for the chasan and the kala. And the Gemara really assumes that the Sheva Brachos is like a 7-day extension of the wedding itself. Like the wedding really persists for 7 days. We'll see this later. Okay? But what's the basis of the p'tur for the guests of the chasan?
What is the basis for the chasan to be p'tur?
Oh, okay. What would be the basis for the chasan?
Well, the chasan gets off for Kriya Shema.
Why?
Because he's nervous.
Okay, so we'll see. So Rashi here quotes an opinion. Rashi says, the debate in the Gemara is whether you say Osek b'mitzvah pater min ha'mitzvah, right? Do you say that they're engaged in a mitzvah and therefore exempt from the performance of another mitzvah? Okay, so presumably the chasan is engaged in the mitzvah of marriage, that exempts him from the mitzvah of sukkah and the mitzvah of tefillah and tefillin. What about the shoshvinin? What about the guests? What mitzvah are they engaged in? Misameach chasan v'kala. Okay, maybe they're engaged in the mitzvah of being misameach them, and that's sufficient to exempt them from these other mitzvahs. Okay? Perhaps. Okay? What do you think?
What's the basis of that mitzvah?
So the problem is, what's the basis? You know, the Gemara says it's a good thing to be mesameach chasam v'kala, right? Kol mesameach chasam v'kala zocha l'chamisha kolos. Right? You know, you get these 5 kolos that were given at Har Sinai. But the Gemara never says it's a mitzvah. Right? No one says it's a mitzvah to go be mesameach chasam v'kala. So how do you know that's sufficient to exempt you from other mitzvahs?
He said that was rewarded when she got killed.
Okay, but is it a sufficient enough of a mitzvah to really, you know, justify the exemption from sukkah?
It sounds like aminus almost.
Different state. You're in a different state that just takes you out of other mitzvahs. Okay, so let's look a little further. So Rashi here thinks it's a debate about Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah. We'll see some problems with that. Tosfos objects. Tosfos says, the machlokas here, the basis of the exemption is tarid, like you suggested, that the chassan is preoccupied, right? He can't focus on his davening, he can't focus on putting on tefillin. So therefore, he's exempt for 7 days. But Tosfos says that's not enough to exempt the shoshvinim, because they're not really preoccupied in the mitzvah. Okay, so Tosfos really likes the view in the Gemara that the shoshvinim are obligated. Okay, so Tosfos thinks you have to appeal to this preoccupation such that you're not actually engaged, you can't engage in other mitzvahs. But Rashi does believe that it's midin osek b'mitzvah patur min ha-mitzvah, and that's what we have to look into. Okay, how could you say that the friends who are engaged in being mesamech, the chasam v'kala, that exempts them from these other mitzvahs? A problem with this view, or is a problem that arises with this view, is the position of the Yushalmi quoted in the Ritva and Sukkah, where the Yushalmi says, second to last source on page 1, Amar Reb Zera Na'achli, Uv Yushalmi Amru, Shehashoshvinen Chayavin, V'hainu Kishachozun Lebatehen Lishen Sham Balayla. The Yushalmi says, this view in the Gemara that says the Shoshvinen are obligated in mitzvos, that's only when they return home at night. Okay, so when they're actually at the Sheva Brachos, then they're exempt from all mitzvos. The Chiddush of the Gemara is that when they go home after the Sheva Brachos, then they're re-obligated in Tefillin and Kriyashma. And that seems trivial. The other Rishonim point out that the Bavli seems to disagree. And the Bavli maintains that the Shoshvinin are exempt from mitzvos even during the times when they're not actively being Mesamech the Chasan V'Kala. Right? So the Shoshvinin go home at night, they leave the Chasan with the Kala, and they're exempt from mitzvos for the entire duration of the 7 days. Okay, that seems to be the position of the Bavli. And if that's the case, then how could you ever invoke Osek b'mitzvah, Pater min ha-mitzvah? Because they're not even actively engaged in any simcha. Right? They went home at night, and still the Gemara says they're exempt from mitzvahs.
Would you also want to differentiate between what type of mitzvah you're talking about?
Well, from the Gemara we have at least... Right, but still the Gemara seems to...
Kriyashma has a finite time, and so if you miss that time, so you miss the mitzvah. What is it about... There's no time limit here. There's no time limit for being the Sameach, and there's no time limit on the mitzvah side.
Right, which makes it even more problematic.
Which brings up Danny's question as to whether there's a different state.
Exactly.
During this time period where mitzvahs are not...
Right. So that's what I'm going to try to argue for, but we have to characterize it a little more precisely. Okay, but it seems from the Bavli at least that the Shoshvinin are Pater even during the times that they're not actively engaged in celebrating with the Chasan and the Kala. Okay, so for all 7 days they're exempt. So we have to characterize that Pater. The second issue we have to contend with is the objection of the Rush on the bottom of page 1, where the Rush just throws up his hands and he says, I really don't understand what the mitzvah here is. Right, like we pointed out, there doesn't seem to be a clear mitzvah in the Gemara of being mesamech the chasan and the kala. Right? So what mitzvah are you going to invoke to justify this exemption? Okay? Those are the two issues we have to address in this sugya. A second set of questions we have to address in characterizing this theme is the content of the brachos that we make under the chuppah. Okay, the Gemara in Ksuvis and Dav Zayin base, top of page 2, the Gemara says, "My mevarich, what brachos do you make under the chuppah?" Amar Rav Yehuda, "Baruch Ata Hashem, Elokeinu Melech Olam, Shehakol Bara Lechvodo." Okay, that everything that Hashem created was created for His honor. Okay, what's this bracha of Shehakol Bara Lechvodo? Why are you making that bracha at a wedding? It's the first bracha you make of the Birchas Chasanim. What?
During the Shabbat.
Yeah, but also under the chuppah.
Yeah.
Right. So what's this bracha on?
Maybe man and woman are going to continue creation. That's the reason the world was
So you want to say it's for the creation that's going to occur when they have children. That's the bracha that you're making at the wedding.
Yeah.
Okay, any other suggestions? I think it's a bracha on the Puravu, right? Hashem created the world for His glory, and presumably the children that will come out of this marriage are also part of that. Why else would we make a bracha of Shakol Bar Lechvodo at a wedding? It's the first bracha.
What is that part of what we do in marriage is we sublimate our id, our sexual urges, in a positive way. Everything is considered like this.
Aha. Okay. Also possible. Let's take a look at bringing some psychology into the discussion. There's bias to the psychology. So Rashi in Ksivas and Daf Ches actually explains this Gemara, and he says, second source on page 2, Haval shakol bar lechvodo eina min haseder. This bracha is not properly one of the brichas chasanim. It's not really about the marriage. Ela la sifas ha'am hane'asafim sham. It's a bracha on the people who come to celebrate the wedding together with the chasan and the kala. Ligmal chesed zecher lechaste ha'makom shenagim adam arishon. It's to commemorate the chesed that Hashem did for adam arishon. Shenasa lo shoshvin. Then it's asik bo, right, that Hashem was like a groomsman for Adam Harishon, what?
An usher,
and he was misameach him at his wedding, right? So the first bracha that we make of Shakol Bar Lechvodo is a bracha on the Asif Asa'am, on the community and the congregants who come to celebrate the wedding together with the Chasam and the Kala. Now, if that's really true, when should we make this bracha? Right? When should you make this bracha? Yeah. When? Yeah, you should make the bracha at the shmorg, right? Not at the chuppah. Exactly. That's exactly what.
No one comes on time.
That's a new minhag that people don't come on time. So Rashi actually points this out, and he says, look in the end of the second line, umishas asifa hiruuya levarech. Really, it's appropriate to make this bracha from the moment that people gather at the wedding. But since we have a cup, you know, of wine ready for the other brachos, so we just push everything off for the chuppah itself. But you're right, in principle, right, we should be making this bracha when everyone shows up to the wedding. Okay. But why are we making this bracha on Asif HaSa'am? Where else do you find the bracha in any other ceremony or ritual where we have a bracha that's dedicated to the people who come to show up to the event? What? Maybe that's like a bracha on Bnei Yisrael, but that would be a good example. But I don't know where else you find the bracha that the people who are coming to celebrate a certain event, that you make a bracha on that.
You don't make this at a bris or something.
Right, you don't make an equivalent bracha at a bris.
Hakel?
Right?
Hakel,
maybe. Hakel would be interesting.
Do you make a bracha, or is it just a mitzvah without a bracha?
Right, I think you do have a bracha at Hakel. Right, but Hakel at least is more intuitively a bracha that's on the kehila. Right, but here it seems that for some reason we're picking out the kahal who comes to celebrate with the chasan and the kala. So we have to figure out why we're making this bracha. In another bracha, the Brichas Chasanim, we have a parallel issue. The Gemara in Ksivis on Daf Chesam and Aleph, so look in the next section on Sameach Tisamach. Right, this bracha is Sameach Tisamach Re'em Ahuvim. Celebrate, you know, you who are in love or beloved friends. Kesamechacha Yitzircha B'Gan Eden Mikeden, right, like Hashem celebrated with you in Gan Eden. Bruchata Hashem Sameachas and V'Kal. Okay. Who is Re'em Ahuvim picking out in this bracha? It says, celebrate Re'em Ahuvim.
Adam and Chava.
So presumably Adam and Chava, or the specific Chasan and Kala who are standing under the chuppah. So Rashi actually says this. Re'em Ahuvim, ha-chasan va-kala, shehein Re'em ha-ohavim ze'ezeh. Right, they are the people who are in love. Right. The Perashat Tfilos of Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Yochar, he's the Rebbe of the Ramban. Okay, he's Ramban's teacher. You know that you're in trouble when they publish your sefer, right, with the title Rabbo Shel Ramban, right? That's his claim to fame. So in his Perashat Tfilos, he says Sameach Tisamach Re'em Ahuvim Elu Hashoshvinin. It's not referring to the Chasan and the Kala. It's referring to the good friends of the Chasan and the Kala who are there to celebrate with them. And this again is strange. Why is the Birchas Chasanim, right, the bracha that we make under the chuppah, why is that again referring to the friends of the Chasan and Kala and not to the Chasan and Kala themselves? Okay, so you have a recurring theme in these two brachos. One is on the entire Asifa, the entire assembly who are coming to celebrate, and the second bracha of Sameach Tisamach, according to Rabbi Yehuda ben Rabbi Yochar, is actually referring to the Shoshvinin, not to the Chasan and Kala themselves. Okay, so these are the two set of questions I want to address in this discussion. To begin our analysis of why we have these things, so I want to build up the theme for a moment of the role of the tzibur, the role of the entire community in the very concept of Jewish marriages. Okay, and I'll give you two brief examples of where I think we find this very clearly. One is the Torah's prohibition of arayos. Okay, so it's not marriage per se, but it's the prohibition on illicit relations. And the Torah phrases this as Lotia Kadesha Mibinos Yisrael, bottom of page 2. Right, you shouldn't have any prostitutes amongst B'nai Yisrael. Now the Ramban is concerned, and he says, where else do you find a mitzvah that's phrased of Mibinos Yisrael? Right, the Torah doesn't say that B'nai Yisrael should observe Shabbos. It says, Zachras Yom HaShabbos Lekadsho, observe Shabbos. Right, it's directed in a first-person sense to B'nai Yisrael. Here it sounds like it's directed to a third party. Lotia Kadesha Mibinos Yisrael, there shouldn't be any prostitutes from among B'nai Yisrael. Right? The Torah should have said, don't have prostitutes. Or don't engage in prostitution. So Ramban is worried about this. And on top of the page 3, you can see, Ramban explains, second paragraph, V'hanira be'enai b'lav hazeh, what appears to me in the explanation of this lav, ki hu azhara lebezdin, this prohibition falls on Bezdin, not on any individual in the community, ki hu azhara lebezdin shelo yanichu achas b'benos Yisrael lios yosheves t'parshas drachim be'enayim al haderech lezima. Right? There's no individual violation that says you can't engage in prostitution. The responsibility falls on the collective of B'nai Yisrael, on the Bezdin, where they're obligated to enforce this halacha. So it's a commandment that falls on the tzibor, not on any individual. Okay? So at least in terms of arayos, it seems like Bezdin is entrusted with this responsibility, not any specific individual. Perhaps a stronger indication of this theme is built into the very notion of afkinu. Right, we say afkinu rabbanon l'kidushin mineh, that there are certain instances where Bezdin could revoke the marriage of the couple. Right, we say harayad mekudeshli b'tabazo kidas Moshe v'Yisrael. Right, you say in accordance with the laws of Moshe and Bnei Yisrael. So the Gemara says that gives Bezdin the authority under some situations to revoke the kedushin retroactively. A lot of the Rishonim are worried about this afkinu, because it raises a serious problem. Right, what problem do you have with afkinu? Then you just have a child who wasn't born through marriage. It's not a real problem. Right, there's no mamzeros there. But the Rishonim are bothered, because if you could do afkinu, right, if there are certain cases where Bezin finds you with afkinu, so then anytime anytime you have an Isra Eishes Ish, right? So anytime a woman is Mizana, so the husband could just give her a get. Be mevatel the get shelo bifnei Bezdin. Okay? Bezdin has to invoke Afkinu. And then retroactively, the couple was never married. Okay? So we're trying to point out that if this is the case, that you have Afkinu retroactively, the husband could always exempt his wife from the prohibition of Eishes Ish. Right? He just gives her a get, mevatel it. Bezdin has to revoke the marriage retroactively. It turns out that at the moment she was Mizana, she wasn't considered married halachically. Okay? This is the problem that all the Rishonim raise. Right? And the case that they give is, you know, somebody who marries his niece, and then his niece cheats on him, and he doesn't want her to get skila, he doesn't want her to die. So he does this trick, and they retroactively get rid of the kedushin. Okay? So this is an issue that troubles a lot of the Rishonim. And one of the solutions that's raised is that Bezdin could do afkinu even mikanu lahaba, even from the moment that he gives the get going forward, afkinu doesn't necessarily have to be retroactive. Okay? I mean, they could just, the Rabbanan could say that from now on, the marriage is annulled, but not annulled retroactively. Okay? Now, that's very surprising.
Is that annulment different than a get?
So it's...
But you're saying...
But there's no physical get that's given, right? Like, there are some cases where, let's say, the husband just is gone, and Bezdin could say, the wedding is terminated. The marriage is terminated. Right? Now, that's very surprising, because what authority does Bezdin have to do that? Right? Either Bezdin could say that the kedushin at the time that it was performed was no good. Right? And they could invoke that to retroactively get rid of the kedushin. But what gives them the power to say that from now on, the kedushin is no longer valid?
When they go to war, and then they think that the person has died. Didn't they do that with a lot of the people from Israel?
Well, they gave a get. They gave a get before they went out to war.
I thought Rabbi Abijah did it with a number of...
But that's not afkinu. I think that's a case where they could assume that the husband died. And when you could assume the husband died, then you say that, you know, a woman obviously is kona atzma v'misa sabal. But the Karen Ora here has a suggestion where he puts forward the idea that maybe it's not just that the Chachamim could use this trick to be mafkiya kedushin. But when you say Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, you really mean that the Chachamim have the legislative authority to simply terminate a marriage when they see it appropriate. Right? You're kind of giving over the legal rights of the marriage to the Chachamim in that generation. Right? So it's not just a trick where they could do away with the Maisa Kedushin, but they're kind of in charge of every Jewish marriage. So it seems like in principle they could, right? But because you don't want to just be Matir Eishasish easily, so they don't. But it seems like according to this idea, in principle they would. And then, you know, the Rivash has a tshuva where he actually says this power is not limited to the Chachamim. Right? It's actually, he has a case where he thinks the Shiva Tuve Ha'ir. Shiva Tuve Ha'ir, I'm looking at Yuli, because that's like it's like the shul board, right? The executive board of the community, they're the ones who are entrusted with the power over the Kedushin and the Suin. Okay? They have this power of Afghanim.
Like
what?
I like that.
No, it just means that everyone's tainas against the Rabbanim will be shifted to the shul board about Afghanim. What? Oh, so in a sense, it seems to reduce it to a civil marriage, but I think the idea here is, right, is that there's a communal dimension to the marriage. Right? So typically, it's given over Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, right, where the Rabbanim and Bezdin is entrusted with that authority. But the Rivash is already saying, no, it's this whole notion of Afkina, that there could be a third party who's involved in the marriage, is because every marriage has a tzibor component, has a communal component. Okay? So I know this is a little bit of an intricate nafkamina here, but I think it just reflects how, you know, the marriage seems to transcend the two individuals, right? So by giving over the authority to Bezdin and the tzibor to terminate it.
What's the source for Harei
Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael? The Rishonim already quoted. It may appear in the Gemara. Kedas Moshe v'Yisrael, I'm not sure. But definitely Tosas quotes it. And he says that's the basis of the authority of Bezdin. Okay, so those are just two nafkamin I want to raise. But look at this third. When in Halacha, when do we allow an admission to be legally valid? And when do you need two Edim, two third-party witnesses, to verify an event? What's the rule? When could I show up to court and just say something and I believed about myself? And when do I need two external witnesses? But even by mammonis, you need two Edim.
If it's against my benefit, it's against my benefit. I did not say.
Yeah, so that's called hoda'as baldin, an admission, right? Something that's lichovaso, right? It's going to obligate you. So then you're believed, right? It works against you. So you could walk in, you could say, I owe somebody X amount of money, okay? But do we always accept an admission when it's lechovaso? Okay, so as long as it's Miku or Russia. But when else, what's another constraint that you have?
You could do it for an Isser.
Okay, for an Isser also. But when is an admission not believed? It's very intuitive.
Katan.
If not a katan. But then it wouldn't be an admission, right?
Witnesses against what you said.
Okay, that's like actually a question. Some Rishonim think that your admission is believed over two witnesses who testify against you, against your admission. Suggest, you have a suggestion?
No, I was just thinking about if you're admitting something to get someone else off the hook.
To get someone else off, where it's going to affect a third party.
Yeah, because, you know, then you might be doing it for an reason for an ulterior motive.
So. Okay, that's a good example, but even clearer example is where your admission is going to hurt somebody else. Right, it's going to adversely impact a third party. Right, it's the opposite case, but the point is that it transcends your claim in Bezdin. Right? It adversely impacts a third party. So the Gemara in Kiddushin on Samachem et Aleph, the Gemara asks the question, is the middle of page 3. If somebody gets married with a single witness, right, in the presence of one aid, the Gemara says, Ein choshin l'kiddushin. Right, we don't even have any concern that they're married. You need two witnesses. Bo minei mirav Yehuda, shnehem modim mai. Let's say both the bride and the groom admit that they got married. Right? So they themselves confess to Bezdin, we're now a couple. What's the din? The Gemara says, in velo v'rafya biyade. Right? He said yes, he said no, and he, you know, rubbed his hands together. He wasn't sure. Okay. So Gemara says, Itzmar amar av nachman amar Shmuel, ha-makadish be'erachar ein choshen l'kidushin, va'afilu shnehem modim. Shmuel clarified and he said, look, for sure, we don't believe them. Why? My havi Allah, hacha kachayiv la'achrini. Because when you confess to being married, you're adversely impacting a third party. Which third party is adversely impacted in a confession that you're married? Let's say there's no children yet, right? If anything, with our children, it's a good thing that they're married, right? They're not adversely. What?
They're asking certain people to my life.
Ah, exactly. So Rashi points out, and he says, Shekrovo seha nesrubo vikrovov nesarin ba. When you say you're married, so your relatives are prohibited to her relatives, right? Or your relatives are prohibited to her. So therefore, you're adversely impacting the, you know, the family. The Rashba doesn't like Rashi's suggestion. He says, well, you could have, in principle, a convert, right, who doesn't have any relatives, or you could have somebody who doesn't have immediate relatives, right? So let's say, you know, somebody has no siblings, and there are no relatives who are prohibited to each other. Right? So in that case, it doesn't adversely impact the third party. So what does the Rashba suggest? Let's see, after the three dots in the Rashba, bottom of page 3, umistavra, tahachi perusha, mechaiva lachrini, denesra kuli alma behoda'asa zu. Because when they claim that she's married, so now no one else could come along and marry her. Right? So that's considered adversely impacting the rest of the world. A little surprising, right? Because, you know, here it seems to pertain to her, and you don't say that, you know, everyone else had the ability to marry her, and now she took herself off the market. Yeah, you think it is appealing? It could be. I think there's good reason why Rashi didn't want to go this way. Rashi's saying, look, you're adversely impacting your relatives because now they're prohibited to each other. Right? But the notion that, you know, that's like saying, you know, if I admit that I sold you something, right, so now I'm adversely impacting any other potential buyer, it seems a little too external.
What is Rashi by the relatives?
Well, I think he means that, yeah, so for example, you know, she wouldn't be allowed to marry your brothers or something.
If you die.
Yeah, those kinds of krovim.
But that's even more remote.
What? Well, it seems a little remote, but it does seem to be more essential to this marriage itself, right? When you get married right now, so an immediate consequence is that, you know, there are rivalrous relationships with the, you know, immediate relatives. Whereas saying that, well, because she married Avram, so now somebody in Australia can't come and marry her, it seems a little too foreign.
Yeah, but for the other, Rashi is predicated on your dying, okay, which may never happen. But if the world doesn't know that she's married, then anyone can come along and
but is that really adversely impacting them? Is that considered chavla achrini, right, where you've almost like you've wronged them in a certain way, right? You would say that the primary party of this marriage is the chasan and kala. And anybody else is like a derivative consequence, but not like a primary adverse impact.
The biggest difference is the fact that it's actually erusin would actually make them prohibited even without a kedushin.
So well, erusin is kedushin. Erusin is kedushin, and then nisuin is the later stage.
Okay.
So the Sweet Aish, though, suggests an alternative interpretation of why you. Confession won't work for marriage. And he just says very nicely, he says that this connotation of chavla achrini has different interpretation in this Gemara than it has in other places in Shas. You can see the top of page 4. Shel musag chavla achrini ish kan mashmaus miyuchedes. Right, it has a very specific connotation. And, you know, he says that, to see the underlined section, that harayon shem amar hakedushin einenu inyan prati ela nogea litzibur kulo. Right, what you see expressed in this notion is that when you get married, so somehow it affects the entire tzibur of Bnei Yisrael. Right? That's exactly the point. You don't assume that the chas and the kala are the only and exclusive parties in the marriage. Right? There's a public component to it. And by definition, every marriage has to have some public representation. That representation is the two edim who have to be present. Right? So the Sri Deish sees the two edim who have to testify to the marriage as representatives of the tzibor. Right now you have like a legal representative of the congregation, and they could testify to the event. So by definition, a marriage can't be a private affair between these two individuals. Okay, it's a very, very interesting interpretation of this Sri Deish.
What?
I think his point is that it's not that there is. He's shifting the focus from the adverse impact. To saying that,
it's more of a positive. It's a bias. Why would you say that? Because it's part of Yisrael. Every marriage is.
Right. I mean, you don't view the marriage as just limited to the chasana and the kala, right? So by definition, you need some tzibur representative present.
Didn't you require an edus, which is really a fresh reflection of that manas, of it might actually happen as opposed to tzibur?
Okay, so what he's building off is that the Gemara distinguishes between edei birur, witnesses who are needed to clarify an event, to testify in the facts of the matter, and edei kiyum, witnesses who are needed for the... You know, if they're constitutive of the events having effect. The nafkamina is that when you talk about edei biror, so, you know, the Gemara says that they only have their shame edim when they actually testify. Because the Gemara's worried about relatives, right? You know, the relatives disqualify each other for edus. The Gemara says, Ma yasu shnei achim shiro be'achat shahargos hanefesh. What do you do if you have two brothers who saw a murder? So you can say all the witnesses are disqualified now because you have two possible witnesses. So the Gemara says, no, you only have the shame aid when you actually show up in Bezdin. So you just tell the two brothers not to show up together, and then the edus is kosher. But the Gemara says that for Kiddushin, where it's edei kiyum, it's never about testifying in Bezin, it's just the presence at the time of the ceremony. So then you actually, you know, you have to have the psulim separated. That's why people have the minug to designate edim at a wedding, right? They'll say, you know, you and you to the exclusion of everybody else, because of this concern that the edus kicks in at the moment of the ceremony, not when you actually testify.
Do you need edim for other types of
kinyan? No. That's what I'm saying. You only need edei kiyum is unique to Kiddushin, presumably because of this...
Is any of this tie into the Medrash about Matan Torah, Har Sinai, with the Sukkah, and with the Rishma, Shal Shem HaKadosh HaBachad, the Eid?
People, yeah, there are a lot of Medrashim that connected to events. We'll see one later. We'll see one Medrash that does that.
What does Sri Deish mean when he says, Nokeya, let's see for
So I think that's what Dr. Popper was asking.
Oh, that would be Dr. Popper.
Right? Doctor, right?
Yes.
Yeah, okay. Cuckoo's nest. Just go call everyone doctor.
So how do you understand that it impacts the whole
thing? Right, so how do we understand this notion that it affects the entire tzibur? Because so perhaps maybe this next source will pick a stand on that. You'll let me know if you think that's
clarifying. Well, the only thing I can think of is that she can no longer go to the shuk. She's no longer available to marriage within the whole community.
I mean, you're just saying that you want to reduce what the Sri Deish is saying to what Rashi is suggesting. I think he means more that you view marriage a little more, philosophically, you view it as a continuation of the Jewish people. In a certain sense, not just, you know, something that these two individuals are engaged in. You know, seen that way, so then the entire tzibur has invested interest. I'm not sure if that's the right answer, but that's just make it a little more intuitive.
I guess certain Christian traditions, maybe this is unique to Catholicism, but like, you know, historians can go into the church in whatever village, and they can see like hundreds of years of genealogy, these people married, and these people, so in that sense, marriage is very much a community institution. You know, every marriage has a very specific and significant impact on the community. I wonder if there's any, you know, relationship to that here. I mean, roles like that and laws like that in our community.
We'll see. There are some halachos that we actually change in the shul when a couple gets married. We'll take a look at them in a minute. We don't do them today, but a lot of Rishonim had them. But maybe to return to Dr. Berkowitz's question. The Gemara in Ksuvis and Dav Zayin Mabes, when it refers to the Birchas Erusin, that's the bracha and the Kiddushin that you make under the Chuppah, so it's now Asher Kedshem Sosa V'tzivanu Al Ha'arayos, V'yasar Lanu Arusos, V'hitir Lanu Hanesuos, Lanu De Chuppah V'Kiddushin. And how does that bracha end? Bracha to Hashem, Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Al Yidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. Okay? So there's a debate whether the bracha is just supposed to end Mekadesh Amo Yisrael, or Mekadesh Amo Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. Okay? The Gemara that we have on Ksuvos Daf Zayin Beis, you can see it on second source on page 4, the underlying phrase, Baruch Atah Hashem, Mekadesh Yisrael Ayidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin. The Ramban in his Kiddushim on the Gemara, so you can see here, he says, Tosefe Zusha Atem Mosifin, he's quoting Rav Haigon, this addition which you add, Greyusahi, it detracts. She'ain kedushas Yisrael tluya bekach. Since when is the kedusha of Bnei Yisrael contingent on chuppah v'kedushin? So say mekadesh am Yisrael. Fine, you want to talk about kedushas Yisrael? So say it. But don't add on that the Kedusha of Yisrael is contingent on Al Yidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin through the wedding ceremony. Right? But perhaps there is a sense where we do view this, the Kedusha of the Bnei Yisrael, as contingent on the Kedusha of marriage and proper wedding ceremonies. Maybe just one example that illustrates this. Normally we say that Yisrael, Afal Pisha Chata, is Yisrael Hu. Right? A Jew, even though he sins, has the status of a Yisrael. Okay? In some places, the Gemara says that a mumar l'chol tarakula has the status of a non-Jew, right? To somebody who violates Shabbos in public, so we say that he's not supposed to touch wine, right? It's yayin nesach, or it's stam yenam. So the Rishonim asks, well, how could it be that on the one hand we say Yisrael af pisha chata Yisrael, who a Jew is always a Jew. On the other hand, we say that Yisrael mumar is dino ka'aklam, right? We say that he has the status of a non-Jew. Right? So how do you reconcile those two Gemaras? So just what a lot of Rishonim say is that, well, it depends. With respect to mitzvos, so we say Yisrael Mumar is like a guy, right? So you don't have a chiyuv tzedaka to a Jew who violates Shabbos in public. But with respect to fundamental Jewish identity, so for that he's always a Jew. And what's the one area that's contingent on a fundamental Jewish identity? What? No, but what halachos does it mean that you could be involved in?
Marriage.
The Gemara always says, Gitin v'kiddushin, right? The Gemara says that even a ger, a convert who becomes an apostate, right? Once he converts, even Shechazal, so he's always a Yisrael, right? L'inyan wat halacha, that kiddushav is kiddushin and gito get. Right? So it does seem that the most fundamental area of Jewish identity, which can never be retracted, is with respect to kiddushin and nesuin. Okay, so I'm not sure if this answers the question why there's a tzibur component. But through the bracha of saying that the Kedushas Yisrael is contingent on getting the Kedushin, and seeing that that's the most basic level of Jewish identity, I think you do see that there's an element of Kedushas Yisrael built into the notion of marriage. Yeah. Yeah.
And the Nisuin is the Chuppah.
Yeah, exactly.
So why do we say Al Yidei Chuppah V'Kiddushin instead of Al Yidei Kiddushin V'Chuppah?
Yeah, the Rishonim are all bothered by that. You know, the Itter says it's a mistake. The Itter is one of the Rishonim in Provence in the 12th century. He says that it used to be Al Yidei Chuppah B'Kiddushin, with a Beis, through Chuppah, through Kiddushin.
Oh, yeah.
Right? Well, he says the Beis got confused with the Vav, and then you had this...
My question before they get asked confused. Previously, when they used to have the engagement process earlier, so they were prohibited from marrying the brother,
for a year.
Or marrying anybody
right.
Beforehand. No, I guess my point was that, you know, they were saying that you're now hurting these other people because you're now preventing them from...
But they would have the Kedushin early, right? They'd have the Kedushin a year prior to the Nisuin.
Right.
So it's the Kedushin which triggers the prohibition to everybody else.
Okay, so you're still...
So, yeah,
together.
Absolutely.
So what can you... The Ramban's problem of limiting is only a problem if you explain the bracha saying that the way that which God is Mekadesh Yisrael is through Kedushin. What you just explained is one of the ways that Hashem is Mekadesh Yisrael is through Chuppah Kedushin. There are many ways that Hashem is Mekadesh Yisrael, Mekadesh with mitzvahs, Mekadesh with... It's just any one of the mechanisms.
But I guess the question would be, why don't you say, for any other mitzvah, why don't you have a bracha, Mekadesh Amma Yisrael, Al Yidei, you know, Netilas Lulav, or Al Yidei Achilas Matzah. And the only time where we pick it out is... Okay, so Hashem is Mekadesh Shabbos, etc. But where do you find that we ever say that Kedushas Yisrael is contingent on some mitzvah or other? Yeah, but here it seems that Jewish marriage is the way of, you know, determining, you know, further generations of Kedushas Yisrael, right, through this kind of... Okay, so now I want to look at a third area where this halacha resonates. And that is the actual ceremony of the wedding itself. Where you see the public involvement at the time of the chuppah and the kedushin. The Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Zayinun Beis says, bottom of page 4, Amar Rav Nachman, Amar Lihuna Bar Nasan, Minayin Lebirchas Chasanim Basara. But how do you know that the Birchas Chasanim can only take place in the presence of 10 people? Shenemar Vayika Chasara Anashim Mizikne Ha'ir Vayom Shvupo. When Boaz marries Rus, he takes 10 people to be present at the wedding. Or, Rabbi Yavav Ar Mehacha, B'makhelos Baruch Hu Elokim Mimkor Yisrael. Whenever you make the Brichas Chasanim, you need to have a kohol. You have to have an assembly present. Right, so Rashi always points out that whenever you speak about a kohol, whenever you speak about a congregation or an assembly, the minimum is 10 people, like you find by a minyan, right? So here it seems that the chuppah could only take place in the presence of a minyan of 10 male Jewish men, right?
I always thought that the Jewish marriage is a contract in contrast to the, I guess, the general Christian one, which is a sacrament. Isn't now is a contract, basically?
Right, well, here it seems that it's more than a contract, right? You're saying that you have to have at least 10, you know, you have to have a kehila present to perform the marriage. You want to follow up with them, or?
No, I just remember one of the pages that I just was talking to the Kushner family, and she was saying that they got married on the run. And I thought,
so a lot of Rishonim think that you can't have a wedding. The wedding's not effective if you don't have 10 people present for the Brichas Chasanim. What?
And place it. At a carving station. Please work carving station.
But let's push this idea a little further. Right? What's the for 7 days that we celebrate the Sheva Brachos? Right? What's going to determine whether you could make all 7 brachos for the following 7 days? So you need 10 people. You need panim chadashos. So what's the requirement of panim chadashos? The Gemara has it in also Gemara Ksivas Daf Ches. And the Gemara says, "Mikam ve'elach ika panim chadashos baruch kulu v'ilo afushe simcha ba'alma." And if you have the same 10 people who are at the chuppah, then it's just like another celebration. But if you have panim chadashos, that justifies making a new birchas chasanim. Okay, so I think I would argue that what you have here, it's not just that there's new simcha when there's a new person present. But given that, by definition, the wedding requires 10 people present, right, and they're actually necessary for the nisuin, so you might say that the only time you have a new dimension, right, that there's some sense of renewal, or there's some sense of difference in the wedding ceremony, is if there's a different person present on the other day. Right? So it's not simply that you have more simcha because there's a new face. But we're actually saying that the nisuin is defined by the 10 people who are present. You need a kahal. And the only way you could justify making new brachos is if that kahal is different on the second or third day. Right? So I think there's a sense where the nisuin is actually different throughout the 7 days of Brichas Chasanim by virtue of the people present. Let me bring some proofs to this idea. The Rokeach in Hilchos Brachos, Rokeach is a contemporary of Rabbeinu Tam in Germany, and he has this question why we don't make a Brichas Shechianu at Kedushin and Nisuin, which we spoke about here last year. So I was trying to argue it's a continuum. The Rokeach gives a different solution, and he says it's because you require 10 people present for the chasana. And the principle is that whenever something is a public celebration, then you don't make a Shechianu. You only make a Shechianu on a private accomplishment. Right? So that's I guess for mitzvahs. But on kinyanim, it's only if you buy something new. Or you buy a new house, then you'll make a shechianu. But if many people are buying something together, there should be a shechianu. So Rabbi Yosef Engel quotes this Rokeach, and he says, this doesn't make any sense. Why? Because it's very nice that you require 10 people to be present, but the primary simcha of the wedding, the kinyan, is performed by just the chasan alone. Right? So it's nice that you have to have 10 people present, but that's not sufficient to say that the wedding is a public kinyan that's shared by 10 people. That's his objection to the Rokeach, right? But perhaps you could counter and say no, right? If you take this idea seriously, where the tzibor is necessary for the wedding, right? They actually, it's considered like there's a public dimension, a communal dimension to the wedding here. So you might say that all 10 people are considered shutfin, they're partners in the wedding ceremony. It's not just the chasan and the kala who needs 10 people present to be misameachim. Is that a fair defense of the Rokeach? Tosos Rid, also commenting on this Gemara, points back to the first bracha that we made in the Birchas Chasanim, which was Shakol Bar Lechvodo, right? The bracha that, which Rashi said, is a bracha on the Asif Asa'am, the people who come to celebrate with the Chasan and the Kala. Tosos Rid says that this is intimately related with the requirement of 10 people for the chasana. Right, so it's not just that we're making a bracha here, but we asked, why specifically for weddings would you have a bracha on the assembly of people who come to celebrate? Right? Why not at a bris milah? So Tzrit says, well, this has to do with the requirement of needing a tzibur present at the wedding. It's not just nice that they showed up to be mesamech the chasam and the kala, but it's almost definitional to the concept of ishus, that a tzibur is present. That's why embedded in the brachos of the ishus is a reference to the tzibur who's showing up for the marriage. Okay, that's this Tosfos read here. It says, "Pirush tchila mevarach shakol bar lechvodo, mishum debirchas chasanim tzricha asara, kedichsiv makelos barchos Hashem." The reason why I make this bracha is because you require the presence of these other 10 people. Now, I'll just add here, if this is the case, you might be able to explain something else. If it's the case that the chasan is not really considered the primary party of the wedding and everyone else is just there to be mesameach him, so you might be able to explain who makes the bracha under the chuppah. Well, it's not the chasan, right? Why is it not the chasan? When do you find that the person who's performing the mitzvah is not the person to make the bracha on the mitzvah? What? Well, if you have a shliach performing it, but here the chasan is—he's not having somebody else performing the wedding for him. He's the one doing the kedushin.
Why is the seven brachot should be the tehillah that makes the bracha and not the relatives? Maybe
they're part of the kehillah.
Yeah, they're part of the. I think the relatives there are only betoras representing the kehillah, right? But here it's the point is that it's not the chasan who's making the bracha at all, even though he's the one who's getting married. And further, the Gemara says, the Gemara has a question, you need 10 people for the wedding. Good. But can the chasan count as one of the 10 people?
No.
So you're saying no. Why not?
Because we're saying a community. So he's not part of his party.
Okay, so I would say that if it's about the 10
part
people...
Of minion.
Yeah, he's part of the minion. Right? If the 10 people are required to be there, to be misameachim, right, to like, dance in front of him and to celebrate with him... So then you might say that you need 10 people independent of the chasan.
It seems more of a partnership between the chasan and kala and the community. So
right, so I would say that maybe if it's a partnership, then 10 is sufficient to include him. Mm-hmm. Right? So the Gemara actually says that the chasan is min haminyan, that the chasan could count as one of the 10 people. So maybe that combined with the notion that you really have the Masada Kedushin make the bracha and you have the relatives and the friends make the bracha over the chuppah, right? It's a way of showing that it's not
so
really
is
just the chasan
is
performing the mitzvah. He's allowed to. But we never have the chasan. Yeah.
According to the
shita
that he's part of the movement and all that, maybe he shouldn't count as
the chasan. If only he's pater.
If only he's pater.
Maybe that would be but the Gemara doesn't say that they're related, right? But it does touch back on our theme, right? You see that the shoshivinin are pater from the mitzvahs. That's they're really part of the celebration. But we'll come back to that in a moment. On the bottom of page 6. We don't do most of these minhagim anymore. But if it's really true that the tzibur and the 10 people are part of the wedding celebration itself, so then maybe we could explain why we change a lot of the halachos in shul when you have a chasan present for davening. Right? So what's the most notable tachna, right? So this is actually machlokas in the Rishonim, whether the presence of a chasan actually justifies doing away with tachnan. Rav Udram in the second last source on page 6 discusses this. You could receive a noagin le'espal of the beis ha-chasan b'yom ha-nesuin. They actually had a custom to everyone to daven in the house of the chasan on day of his marriage. Uve ishbilya, I think ishbilya is Seville. So, noagin le'hosif le'chvod ha-chasan, hodu la'ashem kiru v'shmo. They would add some extra tehillim in davening for the chasan. Ve'ein noflin al-pneim. They wouldn't say tachnan. Ve'gam ein omrim yancho ha-shem b'yom tzara. They would take out Lamnatzeach before Valetzion. Shehu Yom Simcha L'Chasan V'lo Yom Tzara. Right, because it's a day of Simcha for the Chasan, not a day of distress.
It makes it sound like it's totally based Chasan, though.
Maybe if it's not in Shul. We do it even in Shul, right?
Yeah.
Interesting. V'cheinu Omer V'hu K'Chasan Yotze Michupaso, etc., etc. Okay, we add in a lot of Kepitlach of Tehillim at the end. But in the end, you can see in the last three lines, that Avudram quotes the dissenting opinion of Tiltilia. Eina mishanim shum davar miseder hayom. They wouldn't change anything in davening for the chasan. Presumably why? Because it's the chasam's private celebration. Right? It doesn't spill over into the tzibur. Later, poskim are bothered. Right? How is it that we justify exempting the tzibur from tachanun just because one person is getting married that day? And you can see on the top of page 7 that Shlomo Kluger suggests. You can see in the second to last line, kasha, ma in the top of page 7, ma inyan ma dehu sameach sheyiftu kol hakol bazeh. Just because the chasan is celebrating, how does that exempt the entire tzibur? Ach haposkim nasnu tam mikach tesid b'or pnei melech chayim v'chasan dom lemelech lekach nimshach simcha al hakol. Right, he invokes this idea that a chasan is dom lemelech, right, the chasan is like a king, therefore the simcha spreads onto the entire tzibur. Okay, so I don't know if he's saying this idea directly, but certainly he thinks that the, you know, the tzibur is very much involved in this celebration.
Did the melech say tachnun?
I think so. I always think the melech did say tachnun, but I'm not 100% sure.
Why would not say tachnun when it's a bris and shul? That's not really a tzibur.
In the same sense.
Right.
Uh-huh. So you're saying we're more make like the, you know, like the chassidim who have they don't say tachnun whenever there's a yartzei. Exactly. But I think that Vujam is saying it's specifically a chasan. I don't think he quotes it for bris milah. And we'll see that there are two other really strong indications of this, and we don't do any of these today. Tachanun we do. But if a chasan shows up in shul on Shabbos, okay, either on his ofer for the Shabbat brachos, so you know what they used to do? What?
I said you're allowed to text.
So you know what they used to do in times that we've shown him? So the Ritva quotes this in Yuma. They would actually take out a second Sefer Torah for Maftir. They wouldn't do a normal Maftir from last week's Parsha, and they would lay in the Parsha of Avram Zak in Baba Yamim. What we lay in, I think, on Rosh Hashanah. Maybe we lay in Rosh Hashanah, Rosh Hashanah Sarah. Right, the story of Avram giving birth to Yitzchak. Right, so this is that we'd actually change the Maftir in Shul for that week just because you have a Chasan present. Right, you'd also change. They'd also change the Haftorah for that week, and they would lay in Sos Tassis. Okay? It's actually interesting. The Shulchan Aruch quotes this halacha, and he says that whenever you have a chasan present, you should change the Haftorah and the Maftir to Sos Tassis, unless it's one of the Dalet Parshios, right? So unless it's Parshas Parah or Parshas Zachar. But here we're actually saying that we change the davening in Shul, l'chvod the chasan, who's there davening with you. Okay? It's actually interesting. The debate in the Rishonim, why we change the davening. The Tashbeit says, somebody asked him, you know, what's the source of this minhag? How do you justify it? Tashbeit is the Rav in North Africa in the end of the 14th century, right before the Inquisition. So he says, well, there are two reasons why we change the davening. Because one is that the chasan might be an Amaretz, and he won't be able to lane the normal parsha of that week. So if you have a designated parsha for the chasan, so this way, you know, every chasan knows they prepare this for when they get married, and, you know, they're set. The other reason is, he just says, because sometimes the parshios, you know, don't allow for a good aliyah for the chasan. You know, like if it's a tochacha, so you don't want to give the chasan the klalos, right? It's bad omen, he's just getting married. So therefore, you know, we just always designate this parsha. See, because these very technical reasons. Technical reasons, and notice that both the reasons are for the chasan himself. Right? Either we don't want to embarrass him that he can't lean, or because we don't want to give him a bracha that's a klala. Rabbeinu Bachya, in his commentary on the Torah, he actually says, that it's, you can see in the bottom of page 7, it's lahazkir ha'am she'izahir b'nisuav. It's that when you have a chasan present, you take the opportunity to remind the entire tzibor about how they should be getting married, just like Avram, you know, married Yitzchak off to somebody from his family in Canaan. Right? And he says you shouldn't marry for the wrong reasons. So according to Rabbeinu Bachya, it's actually that when we have a chasan present, the theme of that week in shul is not necessarily the theme of that week's parsha. Right? That's not the critical theme for that week. The theme in that shul's davening is the theme of marriage because of this specific chasan. So this is all about the relationship of the tzibur to the specific wedding. Right, so I think that answers one of our questions. Right? Why do we have the brachos, like Chakol Bar L'Chvodo, referencing the asifas am at a wedding more so than any other mitzvah or event? But what about the shoshvinin? Right, what's the basis for the p'tur for the shoshvinin who are going to be exempt from the mitzvahs for all 7 days, even when they're not necessarily engaged, you know, in being mesamech the chasan himself, right? like the Gemara in Sukkah said. So clearly it's going to build off the theme of the tzibur, right, that they're involved in the wedding. But it's even more than just that they're there celebrating with the chasan. The Rambam in Zechiyah Matana, Perek Zayin Halacha Aleph, the Rambam just tells you that what distinguishes the shoshvin from somebody else who's present at the wedding?
He's wearing a tuxedo.
He's wearing a tuxedo.
Send them gifts and money.
Yeah, right. The Rambam says that the Shoshvinin actually contribute to the wedding. The very nice minhag that they had. You can see the Rambam here on top of page 8. Minhag pashut berov hamedinos. Right, the minhag is spread to most of the countries. Shebizman sheyista adam isha meshachon l'reiv u'miyudav maos. Kadesh yeschazik ben ala hotzah. Right, people would send gifts to the chasan to help him support his new expenses. Shemotzi beishto. That he would expand on his wife and his marriage. Uvayim osam harayim umyudayim sheshochin lo v'ochin v'shosin imachasan b'shivas yimei hamishte of mitzasan. These people who contributed to the wedding and to the chasan's investment, they would show up and celebrate with him for all 7 days of the Sheva Brachos. Right? This is very amazing. Right? You hear you're in a small town in Europe and you have to raise money to create a chasana. And so the minhag was that everybody would contribute to the wedding. Either in Europe or in southern Spain here with the Rambam. The Elu Hamao Shemeshalchin Nikroin Shoshvinus. The actual gift that they send is called Shoshvinus. The Osam Shoshochu Hamaos V'Ochen V'Shosen Imachasan Nikroin Shoshvinim. But those people who actually contribute and celebrate with the Chasan, they're considered Shoshvinus. So you see that Shoshvinin is like a higher status than just the people who come to celebrate. Right? You're actually contributing.
It's almost like he's writing this.
What does the word mean, Shoshvinus?
Shoshvinus. So Unculus translates the word Re'ehu in the Torah as Shoshvinus.
Right.
Yeah. But here, in the context of marriage, it has like the stronger connotation where he's a friend who's a participant, right? He's investing in the wedding. This works nicely with the idea that there's a Shutfus here, right? There's actually a partnership in the wedding.
It sounds almost disingenuous that the Rambam writes this as if it's already going out of style.
I mean, because he said this is the minhag pasha.
Yeah, there's this thing, Shoshvin, and everybody knows about it. This is what it's called, and this is what it is. It's written specifically for us 800 years later, but Rambam is writing it for us 800 years later.
It could be. It's actually one case where the Shulchan Aruch says that, there are a lot of different chiluke dinim about Shoshvinas, but since nobody practices these dinim anymore, so I didn't even bother to write them down. But today people do Shoshvinas, right? That's why everyone gives gifts. Yeah. That's really the minhag, that everyone gives a gift for a wedding after they show up.
Is the idea that the money is given for the wedding celebration or for the
So it seems like it's really for the chasan's new expenses, not just for the party itself. That's the way the Rambam makes it seem, right? He says, Ala hotza shemotzi b'ishto, right? The new expenses that he has. But just a few indications that the shoshvinim are, part of the actual of the ritual of the wedding, the tashbates in his tshuvos, this is the same tashbates we saw about the basis for the minhag of laning the Avram Zaken in shul. So you can just see when he talks about the shtar ksuva, who signs on the ksuva according to the tashbates? V'chos min hachasan, this is in the middle of page 8, underline section. V'chos min hachasan v'hashoshvinin v'ha'edim. Right, they'd have all the shoshvinin actually sign on the bottom of the ksuva along with the edim. That have shoshvinim signed them? I don't know. I haven't seen any. But I wasn't really looking. I think they do have ksivas where you have a lot of people signing on the bottom.
Are they going to be exclusive of each other? Or are they, in other words,
Edim
can't be
shoshvinim? It sounds like you had the Edim and then you had the shoshvinim. I didn't put it on here, but I saw another Rishon who says that you have the Edim, then the shoshvinim, and then the entire kahal who's there at the chuppah. So it's like almost like a guest book where everybody would sign. But here, I like this. I just brought this sheet to show the Shoshvinim actually have a stronger. Now he's saying Dafka the Shoshvinim sign, not everybody who's there, because they're more part of it. The Orchos Chaim in Hilchos Ksuvis, when he describes what happens at a Chuppah, he actually says, at the end of the, you can see at the end of Orchos Chaim, Achetikanos Leso Davar Lechuppah, Bechule, etc. He's trying to define what is a Chuppah. There's a debate. Is a chuppah the talis that they would spread over the chasan the kala? Is a chuppah the yichud room? Okay, so he says, what's the chuppah? Shmamina, hu makom miyuchad, ke'ein kilat, kind of a canopy that we designate, sheyoshvin shnehem im ha-shoshvinim hi, where the chasan and the kala would sit along with their shoshvinin. Right, so this is like they would have the shoshvinin standing under the chuppah with the chasan and the kala.
That speaks against the yichud room.
No, it's not a yichud room. It's like a chuppah like we have. But instead of just having the chasen and the kal there, they would have their shoshvinim standing up there with them.
Sitting. Could,
what? Sitting. Or sitting, yeah. They're sitting there with them under the chuppah. The Machzor Vitri, you're going to see interesting on top of page 9, when he talks about the Birchas HaMazon that they would say at a bench, at a chasna. So you'd obviously you'd have Shasimcha B'mono right at the beginning. But he says it was a special bracha that they would insert to be Mevarech Es HaChasen Ves HaKala Ves HaShoshvinim Ves HaShoshvinos. Right? Part of the Birchas HaMazon that you would say, you'd add in an extra bracha to be, you know, to give a blessing to the Shoshvinim who are partaking in this marriage. Similarly, the Machzor Vitri in Simin Tuf Ayin Zayin talks about that when the chassan shows up to shul on that Shabbos, so who goes with him? V'Shabbos Shachris is the top of page 9. V'Shabbos Shachris la'achar shehishlam ha'seder matzivor holech lebeis ha'knesses v'shoshvinen acharav u'mesatei petzitzis v'yotche b'tzad ha'aron v'hashoshvinen yoshvin lehem sevivosav. So when the chassan would go to shul, he'd actually be surrounded with by his shoshvinen when he would get his aliyah on Shabbos morning. The Tashbates suggests that this idea of Shoshvinus is rooted in the concept of Chasan Doma LeMelech. Right? Just like a Melech has Chayolin Makifin also, right? A Melech always walks around with an entourage accompanying him, so to a Melech, that wherever he goes for those Shivas Me'am Mishta, so to the Chasan, when he walks around those Shivas Me'am Mishta, he has his Shoshvinin Makifin also Kol Shiva. So when we return to the initial question that we raised, right? How could it be that the Shoshvinin are exempt for Kol Shivas Me'am Mishta, even when they're not actively engaged in being mesamech, the chasan and the kala? It seems like the answer now is straightforward, kind of what you're suggesting. It's like aninos, right? There's a special status which is designated to the shoshvinos where they are part of this wedding celebration. Not just because they're being mesamech the chasan, but because this notion of a chasana is chal, either because of this notion of the tzibor is part of it, or even more particularly with the shoshvinos, right? Where by definition, if you have a chasan, he only could have that status of a chasan if he has the shoshvinin who are celebrating it with him. Okay, so that would be the basis of their p'tur, kol shivas me'am mishta and the sukkah. I think there's a great raya to this idea. It's a little radical interpretation of this Yerushalmi. You can tell me what you think. We all know that there's this whole question, can you go to a non-Jewish wedding? Right? So people ask if a Jew marries a non-Jew, but what about if a non-Jew marries a non-Jew? Could you show up to the wedding? What do you think?
Church or
no? Let's assume no church. No church. Well, you would go. Okay. So you may be fine. Don't worry. Even if I'm about to say. But would you be a shoshvin? Would you be a best man, right, at a non-Jewish wedding?
Yeah, I would say, because I think that we have an investment
Right, you could say per okay.
In marriage in general.
Of the institution. Okay, so let me tell you what the Yerushalmi here says. Yerushalmi in Avodah Zarah, Perek Aleph Halacha Tes. Yerushalmi said, Lo yasa Yisrael shoshvin lenachri, mishum lo sischasein ban. Okay? A Jew shouldn't be a shoshvin for a non-Jew because of lo sischasein ban. Right? You can't marry a non-Jew. Okay? So I think what the Yerushalmi is getting at, actually, is that the shoshvinin are so integral to this celebration of the marriage that you're being a shoshvin at the wedding is like you're engaged in losis chasin ba. Right? So you're such a partner in this ishus that it's like almost a quasi-violation of intermarriage. Right? Isn't that an amazing Yerushalmi? Now you see how the shoshvin is not just, if you're just there to be mesameach, I'm fine. Right? But here we're saying you're such a part of this chuppah that it's even a violation of losis chasin. So it happens to be the Pnei Moshe, who's commenting on the Yerushalmi, he takes it in a very different way. He just says that it's, you know, Mishum Akruve Daita. V'chol Sheu Kiruv Hadas, Godzu Mishum Losos Chasein, right? It's a general prohibition that you shouldn't over fraternize with a non-Jew. And just like we have a prohibition of drinking and Isser Shechar. So this is that idea, you shouldn't go to parties with non-Jews because it might lead to intermarriage. That's a very forced reading. Right, that's a very forced reading of the Yerushalmi, right? The Yerushalmi seems to say it's losis chasein. It's a stronger kind of a stronger kind of a violation. But that's a suggestion in the Yerushalmi. But one final source that seems to take a stand on this is the Gemara in Ksuvis and Daf Yud Zayin talks about a case where you have a funeral procession that's going down the road, and then you have a wedding ceremony that's also, and they meet at a crossroads. As the Gemara says, who has the right of way? Okay, the funeral procession or the wedding ceremony? Hachnasas Kala or Levayas Hames? Okay, so who has the right of way, according to the Gemara? What do you think? Say, no one has to know, because Daf Yomi is only getting up to this Gemara in a week. So you have a... the wedding ceremony. Right, the Gemara says, we put aside the mace and allow the wedding ceremony to go through. That's right, the wedding also takes priority over the funeral. The Marshal is bothered, and he says, well, fine. He says, maybe we could allow the chasan and the kala to go through before the mace, because we have a chiyu to machabi them, but who says that their shoshvinin could go through with them? Right, who says that the entourage could go through with the chasan and the kala? Right, so again, he appeals to this principle of chasan domal melech. And he says, no, it's that the chasan could only have that status as a melech, where he's celebrating and he's elevated, if he has the shoshvinin going along with him. Right, so perhaps, again, you see this idea where the shoshvinin and the chasan are just contingent upon each other, where it's not just that you have a chasan and everyone's there celebrating with him, but there's this communal dimension to the marriage where the tzibur is very much invested in it. It's a celebration of the theme of Kedushas Yisrael, right, that Jewish community. But particularly the shoshvinin, who are celebrating with the chasan and kala, they give him his stature as a chasan.
So
right?
Is there not communal of all this? Is there sugar mitzvah inviting more people to the wedding?
Because of Barovam Hadras Melech. So some poskim actually do call Barovam Hadras Melech, not necessarily to invite more people, but to explain why people have an obligation to stay, you know, throughout the entire wedding and not break up into groups. But that would be a...
Why do you think it's more for, as opposed to, like, closer friends? Kind of, you know, is it, it's a community, but Kaddish, it's a community affair.
That'd be it. I can tell you, I don't know if inviting more people, but certainly, like a case, the Gemara, the Tosas has a parallel question. If you're deciding between going to a wedding or going to a funeral, and not just a question of who has right of way, but they say that the wedding takes priority. But I would say, so not necessarily because it's a greater kind of a celebration or more important, because that has a prior tviya on you. Right? Because the wedding is a communal celebration, so you as a member of that community have an obligation to the wedding before you have an obligation to a specific avel, maybe. I think that's the kind of application I'm saying. But
do these apply to Sheva Brachos as well, or just
So this also seems to be, I think the Sheva Brachos seems to be just like a continuation of 7 days
so
for the. Yeah, that's what it seems like, and that's the idea of Panim Chadasho, is that when you have different people at the Sheva Brachos, it's a different kind of a celebration, because right? The people who are present is almost constitutive of the. Of a celebration, not just the way it's Mr. Malkin. So what do the poskim say for Shoshvinas? Who's Potter Kol Zayin? So I think a poskim say that the Shoshvinas are not Potter Kol Zayin.
And the Chasan.
And the Chasan, we say that, except for the first night, he's Chayiv in all these mitzvos. But not because, I think just because it's hard to distinguish between different cases, and they say, you know, better to be engaged in mitzvos. But at least the view in the Gemara that the Chasan and the Shoshvinas are Potter Kol Zayin. Is particularly picking on this theme. Yeah, absolutely. So then you only make Asher Bara. You only make Asher Bara and Shem Kol Mono.